Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. At the risk of recreating the earlier unpleasantness, can you boost my mic just a little bit? Thank you. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. We're here in the brand new studios of AM 970. Silent Scene Radio. Jim Riley has... Jim has gone away. This just looked terrible. And you were completely right when you pointed this out yesterday. Like, what? That's the evidence of how mental we all are. If you want it right there. If you had any other job, would you bother to come in today? If you
no,
were Tim?
I would probably actually be better now.
Seriously?
I'm still sick from last week because yeah. I just don't get the proper rest.
Well, and I've got
everything.
That scrapiness in my voice. I'm just like you. That has never really gone away. That I've had the lingering throat scrape for like 4 weeks now. Never got any better. Never gone. I'm not complaining about it as such. I'm just saying because it's our choice. We don't have to be here, I suppose. But it's like how guilty I felt for taking time off over Christmas when I was actually sick. When I was actually wanting to hurl all the time. And I'm like, well, I guess I could still come in. And finally, somebody, my wife was just like, why stay home? And even Tim. Tim couldn't even come in yesterday and clearly just felt like, I'm Tim Riley, though I have to be there. He just dragged himself in to do the news hour. So there you go. So that's us. Anyway, it's and then I'm going to be gone on, I already feel bad. This is another, since the recurring theme of the program lately seems to be the many shades of Rick's the mental crises, I'm already feeling bad because in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm going to be gone for a couple days.
Ooh, so, you are. So that means we have to be here?
Well, you have to be here. I don't know. I'm not sure how we're going to do it.
Where are you going?
Going to San Diego because of the Sorkin thing. I have tickets to see the opening night of Aaron Sorkin's new play, which is called The Farnsworth Invention, which is a premiere at the La Jolla Playhouse. And I'm a huge Aaron Sorkin fan and have been for a long time. And my wife is good enough to find them. My wife was good enough to find tickets or to get tickets to the opening night. And the thing is, and again, how do I put this? I'm going to be very, get myself excited over something that may not happen. And if and when it does happen, I will absolutely talk about it and I'll give credit to the person who is helping to put it together. But here's the thing. I am going to be there to see the new Aaron Sorkin play on opening night. He is going to be in the building. He will be there opening night. We know someone who knows somebody. We know somebody who's on the inside, as it were, at the play, and there is just this tiny, tiny little chance that I may get a chance to do like a, hey, Aaron, I'm a big fan, thank you, all right, and just like a handshake and a hello with Aaron Sorkin, which is all I would
ever
need.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, totally, because if you look, and let me just enter Nerdville for a second, if you look at my MySpace page, you will see that under who I'd like to meet, where you have no one, by the way, you look at Sarah's page, Sarah's apparently met all the people she wants to meet.
I'm destined to be alone. I don't need to meet anybody.
I'd just like to meet a succession of cats who are going to live with me in my large cavernous, uncleaned house in the future.
No cats.
But Aaron Sorkin is under the who I'd like to meet. And so there's a tiny little chance. I'm not getting my hopes up. I really am not. I'm assuming that something will happen and it won't come together. But there is a tiny chance that I will meet him. And if so, I will come and give...
if I can go to L.A. and meet Lucas Rossi, I bet you can go meet Aaron Sorkin.
Dare to dream. Did you see that big hit piece about Rockstar Supernova in the New York Post?
No.
Yeah, apparently tickets aren't really moving for that. I know it's hard to believe, but apparently they can't really get anybody to pay money to see that. It's astounding, isn't it?
Where are they playing?
Who knows? They're playing... Are there ads running for it? I've heard ads actually running for Rockstar Supernova, that
on
show.
This station?
Yeah, but I'm unclear about whether their local spots are national. Well, they must be. They must be local if they're mentioning Memorial Coliseum. Maybe they're not mentioning. Maybe they're national ads and they're just running during some of the during like the national shows. Well, whatever. I'm sure it's going to be an exciting show. Man, I'm not going to be there. But
I'm not going to be there.
You know, because come on.
It was more entertaining to me to see Lucas and like Ryan Star guy just completely wasted in a bar.
Fantastic.
Lucas yelling at his girlfriend.
Oh, Jim Roop is on it now. Does Jim Roop know that we have a new dial-in number? Apparently not.
Yeah, Rachel, I want to talk to Rachel today.
Well, let's welcome now via Scotty J. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program live from Los Angeles. Bow before him. He is Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Hello to you.
Hi, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm okay.
Hey.
I'm hearing myself back, though.
Well, let's not focus on that just now. Are you aware that we have a new call-in number, sir?
No.
All right. Sarah is... How are we going to do this?
Why don't we put him on hold? I'll give him the new number and he can call back.
You can't pick him. Okay, but you can't talk to him on hold.
Yes, I can.
He's over in the other building.
Oh, you're right.
Does CNN know?
Oh, God.
Why don't you top it?
Seriously, if anybody's driving by the building with a gun right now,
don't come in because that would be wrong.
Still a couple days.
I'm just saying, you know, here's the thing, Jim.
Here you go. No, Rick.
Yes?
I'm going to give this to you. You type it to Scotty J, and then Scotty J can tell Jim.
No. Wait a minute. Hang on.
Hold on. Jim, is somebody giving you the number?
Yes.
All right. So somebody is giving Jim the number right now.
I'll call you right now.
Okay. Okay. Hang up here and just call back on the new number, and Sarah will answer directly.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Thank you.
God bless you. All right. There you go. That's Jim Roop. I wonder, you know, I was talking to Laura Klein in Human Resources about this the other day, about whether or not we're, because there's this thing in the CBS handbook about how we're not allowed to drink, but I think that the CBS handbook specifically says that you are allowed to drink if it is pursuant to your responsibilities or obligations for the station, by which they mean, clearly, if there's a holiday party, or like if you're entertaining a client, like in the Skybox or whatever the hell it is at the Rose Garden or something. I wonder if just I could come in here and just drink throughout tomorrow's program, if I can really sell her on the idea that I needed to finish this program without having a goddamn nervous breakdown. All right, is that Jim? Sarah's the warning Jim in advance about my deteriorating mental state. All right, is he on hold? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's try this again. I'm going to back up and I'm going to get a good solid run at this one. Stretching out?
Oh, stop doing that.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent James Roop. Hello, sir.
I can hear the theme. I can't hear you.
Hello, can you hear me, sir? Hi, Jim?
Yes.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
All right, can you hear me well?
It sounds like you're on a speakerphone.
Well, I'm not. You'll just have to trust.
That's what Lisa
Goddard said earlier, and we wrote it off to her just being crazy or maybe high on some sort of airplane glue. That's okay. You know what? We're going to muscle through it today, and then I'm going to
take the glue habit, though.
Yeah. No, I'm going to. Yeah, we're going to bite down, and we're just going to muscle through today, like in the old West when they just had to remove a bullet by just sticking a knife into your shoulder.
Well, you know what? That's interesting because I sliced my finger very badly over the weekend, and a friend of mine who's a doctor sewed me up at his kitchen table.
What?
Yeah, it was very cool.
First of all, well, let's back up because we love stories of horrific injuries on this program. But first of all, let me just say this. If you call in tomorrow and I'm not here, it just means that I've decided to go hide in a seedy motel somewhere where no one can find me. And I'm just going to lock the door and just drink myself into a stupor for a few days and then maybe come back after that.
That's a vacation for me.
Dude, I talk a lot about I know that I'm a boring human being, but I am not an abuser of substances. Now, I know that that makes me different than you, Sarah, almost everyone in this building, and most of the people in the audience. But I don't say that with any puritanism. I'm not above it. I'm not a religious person.
Don't do it.
It's just not my thing. And here's why it's not my thing. Because I learned kind of early on, as I've said several times, that I have what head shrinkers would call an addictive personality, I believe. And whether that's a real thing scientifically or not, I think it is a thing behaviorally with me where I don't think there would be any middle ground with me. I think that I would have the first drink and then I would have the entire bottle finished and I would be out setting fire to things, and punching people. So that's why I don't do that. But you know what? I just long to do something. You know what there ought to be? There ought to be some place you can go. There ought to be some service that they offer where you can go and experience just massive quantities of drugs or alcohol, but in like a safe setting. You know what I mean? Like you hear about those dominatrix places where it's like it's some basement where you pay like $150 an hour and it's like some woman in spike heels who flogs you for for most of the afternoon, and then she jumps up and down in your back with spike heels, and then she dresses you up in a diaper, and then she punches you, and then you go home. And you're not really paying for that experience so much as you're paying for it to be done.
That's pretty good detail.
Yeah, it kind of scares everybody.
Oh, hello. Was that out loud? No, I'm saying what you're paying for so I'm told, is you're paying for that to be done in a safe, controlled setting. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking there ought to be some sort of service. They ought to provide this in other countries.
Well, you know, I used to, when I was a disc jockey, I used to love the St. Patrick's Day and New Year's Day thing, when the CHP would bring some jocks out and they'd say, they'd put us in a big parking lot with cones, and they'd say, okay, you're going to do shots. And you do shots until you run over the cones. I would volunteer for that twice a year, man. New Year's and St. Patrick's Day.
Is that a bit? Because everybody, I mean, I...
No, that really happened.
No. I mean, it has happened. I mean, that's a radio bit that has happened a lot where it's like... And the deal is they'll get some jocks drunk on the air to show as like an object lesson and why you shouldn't drink and drive.
Right.
To show how your reflexes...
Only two drinks and you can... Your driving is impaired X percent, you know?
Yeah, I bet you took a hell of a lot more than two drinks.
Oh, man, I coated my stomach with buttermilk the night before and went in there and said, I need another one.
I think, though, that there ought to be some sort of a business, some sort of a service, maybe on like a floating platform that's 12 miles out to sea, where you can just go and you pay like $500 and they just give you a completely safe rubber room and just a big bag of heroin. You know what I mean? And like a paramedic standing by.
I was just going to say.
A paramedic standing by should you begin to choke on your own waste. Just a huge pile of cocaine and a rubber mattress and a doctor standing by. I think I'd sign up for that right now. That'd be like Club Med. You know what I mean? That's because that's really what I need right about now.
Yeah.
Good God Almighty. All right.
Well, has it been that bad?
Well, I don't know. I suppose that depends on who you ask. And part of me hates to complain about any of this because I know that there's a million people who are having more stressful days than I am right now. But it does seem to have been a bit of and I think Sarah will back me up on this. It does seem to have been a bit of one thing after another recently. Because we are moved into a new studio. And it's not like I expected it to be technically flawless. It's just, I sort of made mental allowances that there would be one day where nothing worked. But it's been sort of this awful middle ground where a few days, like 3 days in a row, where a lot of stuff works and then a few things don't, but it's never the same stuff 2 days in a row. So it's like, imagine if you got into your car one morning and everything worked fine except you couldn't turn on your windshield wipers and it was raining. Next morning, that's fine, but you can't back up. Morning after that, everything's great except your radio is stuck on 10 all day and you can't turn off the sound. That's kind of what it feels like to be in the studio the last few days.
That has happened.
I don't see
every person in radio who had to move into a new studio.
It's true. These are things that all generations go through. And then Tim has this death flu, so Tim Riley isn't here. Wasn't here yesterday. Isn't here now. And of course,
Rick doesn't deal well with change.
I don't deal well with change. I've got 3 days of being in a new setting, and this is, you know, and without. And Tim really is in so many ways the linchpin. I'm not trying to sort of tell people that they shouldn't enjoy the program without Tim. I'm just saying without Tim, you know, there's a certain... Tim is the basil leaf that spices this program in many ways. He is the cayenne. He is the swizzle stick that stirs the Rick Emerson Show. And so without Tim, you know, this is kind of a, you know, sort of a different vibe without him. Scotty is not here. Scotty's in a building that's like half a mile away. So it's... Anyway, it's just been, I have been kind of grumpy. I've been a little, Sarah would say unstable, but I would just say I've been a little moody about the past month or so. But I don't know why.
Sounds like Sarah's about to go down for the count too. Are you working on a cold too?
Sarah has a cold.
I had to take a day off last week. I've been fighting this cold.
Sarah has a cold, the same cold that I've had, and of course because
I'm hearing music.
Because we're all...
I'm hearing music and not you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you able to hear me at all?
Are you messing with us, Jim Roop?
He can't hear us.
Some god-awful song is playing.
No, he's gone. He's not even able to hear us. It's just turned our voices off, and now it's feeding him KUFO.
What do you mean, Rick? He said it was god-awful music. KUFO doesn't play god-awful music.
I wouldn't know anything about that. We'll be sure to put that in the company fight song. We're taking a break. We're going to come back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. playing this.
To make you happy. Who isn't happy when they listen to Neil Diamond?
Oh, I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
I saw him sing this live. It was so close.
Why do you even have this? Because you're a Neil Diamond fan.
Of course I have this.
Of course. It just goes without saying.
I was going to play Girl, You'll Be a Woman soon, but I thought that was kind of weird.
That's creepy. Isn't there supposed to be a chorus somewhere here? Is this like the 80-minute version of this?
I did not realize that intro would be so long. I don't know what's going on. I can pat it down.
No, no, it's fine. I don't remember the song being this long.
That's because you probably heard the radio edit. You didn't get to hear it in all its glory.
I'm poor for... Oh, here we go. I don't really know that this is picking me up the way that it's picking you up. I don't really know that it's having the desired effect. Somebody's shouting, "Woo, Steve Perry!" It's not Steve Perry. Oh, good God. What is this?
The worst Neil Diamond song ever.
Are you just going to play nothing but Neil Diamond songs trying to cheer me up?
You should not have given me the capability to attach my MP3 player.
Oh, I didn't. That was Jeff. Jeff did that without my suggestion.
Oh, that's just mean. Yeah. All I'm trying to do is make you happy.
I'm not telling you. It's the wrong day to be grumpy at me. I didn't tell him not to do it. I didn't say, like, don't give Sarah the ability. I'm just saying he surprised me with it. You and I found out the same time. We came into the studio, and he's like, hey, look, you've got the ability to play your own songs now.
I don't know. We have no Tim. We're directionless right now.
I don't understand Neil Diamond songs. Rick, it's time for a high colonic, as he knows us. All right. 503-733-2970. I'm sorry, we had to go to a break. I was going to have a mental breakdown for real if I stayed in the studio one more second. It's not that the phone call didn't work with Jim Roop. It's that it worked for half of it, and then it just stopped. Then it just suddenly stopped. For no real reason. The really disconcerting part about that is when I walk in the back into the kitchen, and the engineering department is there, and it's just sort of a shrug like, I don't know. That's fantastic. What could possibly make this day any better, ladies and gentlemen?
Now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Johnny J.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Scotty. How are you?
Doing great.
Thank you. Scotty's a big pick-me-up, by the way.
We need to bring some sunlight into the studio.
As we went into the break, and I just had to walk out of the studio. Do I just sound like a big baby? I mean, you can tell me if I do. If I just sound like a big baby.
I feel like lately our comments have been less about, like, Paris Hilton and Britney Spears crotch-flashing and more about, like, emotional distress.
But I guess you
got to talk about what you got to talk about. You can't pretend you're not going through a thing if
I'm
you are.
I'm just saying the studio issues are causing me a little bit of mental friction right now. That's all I'm saying. And so I thought Jim Roop always brings me up. He's always a little ray of happiness into my life. And we got ready to go, and we were rolling with Jim Roop, and he was talking about? He was telling an amusing story about something. He was telling a story about a stabbing or a thing or whatever. Anyway, rolling in, and then halfway through, bam, just can't. I tried to speak with him, and suddenly he just can't. You know what it was? This is the great thing about that Jim Roop moment. It was right after I was describing the studio problems to him, and he said, well, what are the nature of the studio problems? And I said, It's not that it's one big bundle of things. It's that every day some new problem springs itself on us. And I swear to Christ, it was like 15 seconds after that that the phone just quit working. It's like Beetlejuice style. I just conjured it. I just said, hey, and then just when everything's fixed, then something else goes wrong. And the next sound out of his mouth was,
Rick, I can't hear anymore.
It's like I made the goddamn thing happen just by talking about it.
Maybe it's your special power.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure that's what it is. So I just had to leave. We had to go to a break. And I hate to, this is the thought that's been in the back of my head. The players, here's the other problem. The thought that's been in the back of my head.
Welcome to my world, Scotty.
The thought that's been in the back of my head is I can't just leave. I can't just leave because, then I would just feel like I was Don Geronimo. I would just feel like I was having a Don and Mike moment. Because Don and Mike just walked, So, I don't even really have that option. Even that avenue of escape has been closed off to me today. I can't even just go home because that's already been done. And then I would just be Don. And Don Geronimo every so often does sound like he lives on the knife edge of mental collapse.
Well, that's why they took off 2 months.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I can't do it.
It's already been done.
Because, it's already been done.
Somebody's already used the whole mental breakdown thing.
That's what I'm saying. It would just sound like I was ripping him off. It would, if I just said, like, F the studio, I am going home for the day. A, it would sound like I was just ripping off a Don and Mike bit, and I think we do enough of that already. And B, I'm not saying that I know Don Geronimo or that I really know anything about him or that I have some insight into his personality, but I'm willing to bet that in many ways he and I are not too dissimilar simply because we are a similar style of performers like a lot of people in radio. So God only knows what would happen next. I would probably leave for the rest of the day, and then the next time you'd hear from me would be in May. Or given that, probably not, because I don't know that I have the same pull with CBS that Don and Mike do. So I would leave, and then you would just see me standing around downtown selling pencils out of a tin cup and screaming about the Book of Revelations and a many-headed Hydra. So
I was famous once.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah, thank you. So as we go into the break, I don't know, about 15 minutes a week, we're going to go into this 1:20 break because the Jim Roop phone call isn't happening, and I'm just like, screw this. We have to take a break. I have to get out of the studio. Scotty chooses that moment to arrive in here, and he hears me saying, like, I'm gonna walk outside and take a moment to myself and breathe some cool, refreshing air, Scotty. And this is what Scotty says to me. What were you trying to do? Playing some Neil Diamond, which I appreciate. You're saying nice things to me. You're being calm and don't take this the wrong way. Being sort of maternal during the break, trying to reassure me that we're gonna come back and everything's gonna work properly. What does Scotty do? Scotty goes, I don't let this stuff get me down. What's your problem?
Are you kidding?
I swear to God, that's what he said.
Not in those
exact
words.
That is exactly what you said. If we go into the break, I'm clearly, for right or wrong, having a bad time of it today. The Jim Roop phone call explodes. I walk into the hallway, and I think I have crazy guy written all over me today. I don't think anybody can plead ignorance and say that they didn't know that I was walking on a little bit of thin ice at the moment. Scotty, I don't let this stuff get me down. What's your excuse? And then he sort of contemptuously is like thumbing through the news, speaking to me in a dismissive tone as though I'm some,
petulant
5-year-old.
No, I have emotions. And I said it with a smile on my face.
Thanks. That made all the difference in the world. Thanks. I appreciate that. Shall we do some news?
We should.
Have we already played the sounder? Ladies and gentlemen.
We already played it. Do you want me to play it again?
No. Let's not play it again. I'm just saying, as part of keeping this best show ever rolling, here for Tim Riley is Scotty J.
Again.
All right. Well, perhaps some entertainment news will cheer you up a little bit.
Well, let's find out, huh? There's no way to know unless we do it. Let's just plunge on ahead and see how it works.
Well, Billy Joel writes a song about his new wife. This time he's singing about an East End girl. Billy Joel, who famously sang about Chrissy Brinkley in the Uptown Girl song, is releasing his first single
in 14 years. Substituting new words into the same melody.
Actually, it's a new song called All My Life, which you can, it'll be available on People Magazine's website February 7th, and then you can get it from iTunes February 20th. He said, don't get too excited. The Piano Man told Newsday that...
I wonder if he gets tired of being called the Piano Man. There's like some rule in journalism that you've got to call Madonna the Material Mom, and you've got to call him the Piano Man.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Thanks for crystallizing that news department. Thanks for clarifying that. The official state of the opinion of the CBS radio news department is that they're not sure.
Well, All My Life is the only pop song he's finished since his 1993 album River of Dreams, and I don't think he has any plans anytime soon to release.
That was a terrible record, too. That's not the record he wanted. Here's why he has to finish something, because you can't just die and have River of Dreams be your last record, because that was crap. That had that that terrible lullaby song on it.
I felt like he kind of lost it at the after Glass Houses. I mean, it was an
egg. Is Glass Houses the one that's about Vietnam? No, that's the Nylon Curtain.
Oh, that wasn't too bad either. I liked a couple of those songs.
All right,
to be honest with you.
Okay.
Bruce Willis settles an extortion lawsuit filed against his childhood friend over allegations the man tried to extort at least $100,000 from Willis. The lawsuit filed in August accused Bruce DiMattia, who was hired to maintain Willis's personal items and memorabilia, of extortion and violation of privacy. The lawsuit claimed DiMattia was overcome by greed and jealousy over his former friend's success. And he demanded a $100,000 car be purchased for him. So they have settled out of court, and
you know,
the dispute is over.
Here's the thing about your news reading style, is that you just accent all the wrong syllables, and you put words together that, so like, demands that a car be purchased for him, demands that a car be purchased. And you can actually take English, you have this amazing ability to take the English language and actually make it sound like something that you've never spoken before. Or like some sort of Indian dialect or something. Let's see, I'm looking at the, I can't believe I'm about to say this. Let's try taking some phone calls. Oh, good time.
This is his first time.
Let's talk to Frank on the Rick Emerson show. So, James, is it James?
Yes.
Hi, Frank.
Hey.
Hey,
Rick, what's going on?
Oh, this and that. Why?
Well, it seems like you're in a bad mood.
I'm doing my best to cover it up. Apparently, I'm not being altogether
successful.
I think
you just need to vent to get your frustrations out.
It's true, because you babble on and on about how much you love your job and how lucky we are. You're sitting here complaining about it the entire day.
I'm not.
It's a little disheartening for people.
I'm not complaining. No, you know, I haven't complained about my job or my career or what I do for a living.
You're at your job right now.
That is not.
You're complaining.
Not necessarily your job. You just need to vent. You just need to have some time to vent.
I'm merely observing that there are some technical glitches and other things like Tim being gone and so forth. There are things beyond my control that are making the show feel a little ragged today. So,
right.
So that's not fun. So I'm perhaps not dealing with that as smoothly as I ideally might.
Right. Well, change is hard.
And
the new studio and all the problems, you know.
It's like
with any new thing, everything is just
stitching time saves nine.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that.
Rick.
All right.
Have a good day.
I won't cry over spilt milk. That's fantastic. Well, change is hard. And he's out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, fantastic. Let's talk to Don. Don, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. You have brought so much joy to our otherwise pitiful lives.
That's
you
so
should
bad.
Have a section of the show today that lets your listeners talk about the good things of their life to pick you up.
A little good news. We'll do the A Little Good News segment where people can call up and talk
that
about how they
great,
just bought a pony.
What you're doing now is just killing it.
Thanks. Thanks for that. I appreciate that.
Can I start with the good news?
Please be my guest. Go ahead.
Okay, well, just to show that your life isn't all garbage like you think, and there's a horrible feedback on your phone, by the way, but I don't want to bring you down.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. There you go. That's Don. Thank you, Don.
I can barely hear you, but
and we're done. All right, you can hang up on Don anytime. Thank you. Thanks. I almost have to admire that. That was almost funny. All right. Scotty, why don't you continue with the news?
Well, Terry Polo is set to reprise her role as Ben Stiller's wife in Meet the Little Fokker. The third installment of the movie franchise.
None of this is cheering me up. You're supposed to be selecting news that's going to make me smile.
This is entertainment news, right?
In some fashion.
Well, they're making a third Fockers movie,
well,
so
well,
I think
hooray.
That's going to be great.
Our problems are solved.
That's what we need.
Fantastic. Now more than ever.
See, we can move on from that.
All right. Can we? Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you so much. 503-733-2970.
Don't take out your aggression on Scotty. He's trying. You kind of threw him into a weird position.
I'm not taking out my aggression on Scotty. I'm just saying, it's just absurd. It's become one of those days where all the things that aren't frustrating are just absurd. So, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Ray, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Ray, hello, sir. Is Ray there? I'm unclear about whether Ray is there or not.
I do not hear a Ray.
At this point, there's really no way to tell. Ray, I would say it's about 50-50. Ray might, in fact, be right there. Just not able to hear me or speak in any way. This program today is sort of like a loved one that's in kind of a coma. You're not really sure if they can hear you. And the doctors do that thing of poking pins into their feet. Maybe they feel it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they'll get better. Maybe they'll just stay in a vegetative state forever. It's really hard to tell.
It's just a hump we have to get over.
That's what it is. It's a hump. Hi, Scotty. How are you?
Doing good.
All right.
How about we shift off the news and do some top five or something exciting?
I was just going to suggest that we do the top five, actually.
Since I can't read.
Do a couple more here. I'll get the top five. Since I can't read.
You have.
You should apologize.
I'm going to go home and I'm going to have to.
I didn't say you can't read.
I was just trying to be jovial and joking.
Yeah, I'm
going
to have to break into the bottle of whiskey now.
I didn't say, okay, you know, here's what I could not use today. I could not use that both of you attempted to make me feel bad about the way I treat Scotty. This should not be them.
You stop feeling bad about yourself for one damn second.
Scotty, why don't you do a couple more?
Well, U.S. Airways dropped its hostile $9.8 billion bid for Delta on Wednesday after Delta's creditors threw their support behind the airline's plan to emerge from bankruptcy on its own. Delta Airlines officials, unsecured creditors committee, said in a statement, let me stop right here.
I didn't say a word.
I do want to say something.
All I can think about is the syllables.
I didn't say a word. I didn't say a thing. I didn't make any observations about Scotty's reading ability.
That's fine. Here's the deal. I found this news not less than 10 minutes ago.
I've never read
this before. I can read it to myself, but when you read it out loud for the first time and you try to sound like you know what you're reading, it's not.
Did I say anything? Sarah's the one who began laughing at you.
I caught myself. Anyways, right. The official... Can I just
interrupt for a second?
Sure.
Because here's the thing. Can I just interrupt? Because Sarah said something, and I let it pass. Sarah said something that I...
I saw the look on your face. I know what I said.
You said something that I want to address. I am not... I want to be very clear about this. I am angry because I feel like we're doing a bad show. That's my deal right now. And I realize that that's me, and I'm letting the technical problems get into my head. I know what that is. That's the thing. I'm not feeling bad for myself. I'm not trying to feel sorry for myself, and I'm not trying to whine about my life or whatever. Because on the worst day that I have here in this studio, the worst day I have here is better than the best day of most other jobs you could possibly have. That's the thing. As I've said, I'll speak simply for myself here, that we really are just the luckiest bastards on earth. That this is our job, and this is what we do, and this is, and we get paid, to do this. That's kind of our deal. So in no way am I complaining about the job, but it really does get inside my head when I feel like we're not firing in all cylinders. And when I say we, that really does mean me as well. Because Sarah adjusts to change in way better than I do. We've had this situation a whole bunch of times. We'll be in a different studio, or the phones don't necessarily want to work, and that things don't want to operate, or we'll have sound bites that you get messed up, or Tim has to go home sick. All of these things have happened before. And Sarah deals well with them, and Tim deals well with them, maybe not flawlessly, maybe not perfectly, but he does deal reasonably with these changes. Even Scotty comes in as only someone who lives in a $9 million home and has a flat-screen television in his shower can do. Scotty just smiles his way Gump-like through all of our problems. It really is just me. And the thing is, and Laura has heard me for years talk about this, I will go home some days, and the days that I go home and I'm grumpy or I'm just feeling in a black place are the days when I feel, and I'm not fishing for compliments when I say this. I know it sounds like I am, but you have to just believe me when I say that I am not fishing for compliments. The days that I go home and feel like someone tuned in or someone was listening to the show and that I didn't necessarily make it, like, worth their while, like, in the strictest sense. Like, I didn't necessarily make it, like, the best experience on earth. Today is such a day. So, something I can't, and you know what
How
today
could
is?
How not be the greatest thing ever?
I'm just saying, and you know what today is? And I'm going to hear about this later. I'm going to hear emails from this later on. So, anyway, I have my buddy in my office, and I'm always telling him to listen to your radio program because it's fantastic, and he doesn't like to. He likes to listen to that, Air America. And so, today, I finally got him to tune in. After many, many months, Rick, of requesting that my friend listen to your radio program, I finally got him to tune in today. But he was disappointed in the program and did not find it to be compelling and entertaining. That's what I'm going to get. I just know it because that's how the universe works. I'm going to hear from like 100 people today who decided to be listening today and couldn't see what all the fuss was about this program because they didn't find it all that funny. And nothing seemed to work properly. So those are the days that I find a little vexing. So I'm just saying, I'm not complaining or whining about my job because I am lucky to have this job. We all are. But my job is to make your day better. And I don't say that. I'm not like that creepy woman who called in a few weeks ago and says, Rick, you're... What did she say?
I wasn't here. I missed that day.
You're so creepy. Jeff McGinley can tell you. This woman called up at the beginning of the show.
Your voice heals people or something?
Rick, your laughter heals people. Your laughter heals people. And she was serious about it. It's like I was Jonas Nightingale in a tent curing somebody's gout. So, Rick, your laughter heals people by the thousands. So, you know, it's like Gene Simmons said this thing one time where he said, you know, his job is to get you through a bad day. It's like, you know what? If you have a fight with your wife or you have a fight with the landlord or you fight with your boss, you've been stuck in traffic, it's like you come to a Kiss concert and the best compliment is like you don't think about that for 2 hours. That's kind of our deal. Somebody's a delivery driver, they're stuck in a truck, they're stuck in a cubicle, whatever. The goal is to make them not think about that for 4 hours or to make them smile or make them whatever. So when I feel like we've done that and we've provided a diversionary activity for people, I feel good. Today, not so much. So that's what I complain about more than anything. It's just I feel that it hampers our ability to be entertaining because I'm not under any impression that we're here to change an election. We talk about politics because I find Hillary Clinton fantastic, and I like to hear Bush say, Barack Osama. But I, you know, I'm not here to make the world a better place. I'm not here to save the whales. I'm here to do whatever. We're just here to entertain people and to amuse people for a few hours at a time. And so in as much as I accomplish that on a daily basis, I feel like it's been a good show. In as much as we don't accomplish that, that's when I feel like it's been a frustrating show, and that's what makes me angry. So... anyway, so there's that. Speaking of amusing, wait, hold on, let me just play this. Let's see, stuff from Rick's Q. Where is the, let's just...
One big fiesta for illegal aliens. And
let's talk to George. George, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir. How are you?
Thank God that you're not a one big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
I do have that working.
I'm myself like I'm talking to Ireland here.
Well, anyways, that's okay.
I just wanted to change ourselves outward, change the wrath outward, and focus on the ability or inability, that is, of stupid people to die. I was just reading an article about a guy in Westland. He has a rap sheet as long as his both of our arms put together, and he's going 100 miles an hour. He plunges his vehicle into a garage, gets it in there sideways, and gasoline is spewing out everywhere. In order to ascertain what the situation is, he sparks up his Bic lighter, and two well-meaning civilians pull his ass out of the car and save his life as it is engulfed in flames.
If
you or I did that, we'd be dead. We'd be crispy.
It sounds like he's giving a speech.
First of all, pinch hitting. Is that going on over the air? And I'm not complaining. I really am curious because
thing going on here.
Hold on, just hold on for a second. I'm only asking if that's going out on the air because if so, that's a fantastic comedic tool that I could be using for the next hour and 10 minutes.
Like my fellow Americans.
I don't even know if anybody else can hear that, but everything he's saying is echoing like 3 or 4 times in my head.
I wish I'd prepared it. Rick Emerson. reflects the angst that we all feel, that our glorious leader has reflected in his psychosis, which washes over the land.
Okay, and we're done.
All right, well,
thank you.
That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted you to expound on the topic of people that are too goddamn stupid to die.
Well, yeah, that is one of the recurring. Well, we will get this, actually. I do have one of those stories here. We'll get that. All right, thank you, sir. All right, and like that, he's gone. Let me get a few more here, then we'll break, we'll come back, we'll do news, then we'll do the top five. And then we'll read about this guy who has hat pins in his junk. That guy's having a worse day than me. Rob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, I'm concerned about you.
Great. Now everybody's going to want to come hug me. All right, yes.
I hope you don't end up swimming in your closet or something.
Everybody's really doing their best to pick me up today. All right, yes, we're going to go all Ray Combs. No, it's many small things happening on one day, and it's frustrating. It is.
Maybe try
drinking
an enema or something.
I like how even the most well-intentioned calls, you can't really hold it together. Even the most well-intentioned, sincerely concerned listeners, they just can't find it in them to stay straight and compassionate for the entire call. It always has to go to an enema at the end or shut the hell up. All right. Thank you, sir. Rick, this email says, ask Scotty J if you can kick him in the junk on the air. It'll make you feel better. If he's a true friend, he will let you. Signed, fourth or fifth best show ever. Steve, thank you.
Oh, my God.
Fourth or fifth.
Fantastic. Oh, the Echo is going over the air, apparently. A million people have instantly emailed in to tell me that the Echo is going over the air and that it sounds, quote, fantastic. Let's do one more and then we'll break. Jim, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Jim. How can I help you, sir?
Okay, well, this is going to be like the Marines. I'm going to tear you down, and I'm going to build you up.
Great. I can't wait. I'm so glad I picked up this call.
Normally, I don't care for the show that much. But yesterday, I made it a point to drive all the way from Beaverton. I timed it out just as you people were walking down the street.
I had a friend who I could listen to.
So I could honk and wave at you people because I'm a person alive under this circumstance. So I am giving it a shot.
Sarah? Can you help me translate?
You've got massive feedback. Beyond belief.
I don't know what to say.
I have no idea. I could only hear every other word.
Drove... What?
I drove from Beaverton. I timed it so I could drive by and honk and wave at you people as you walked by just
to say on Monday.
A very happy hello.
On Monday. Oh, you were one of the guys who honked when we were doing the walk from the other studio to here.
I was driving a car and I just honked. I timed it. And want you guys to say hello.
Well, God bless you, sir. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Give the show a shot.
Well, thank you. Okay.
Hey, by the way, do you know where Don't Grind the Bastards Down came from?
Well, people have asked me that, actually. People have asked me about the Don't Let the Bastards Grind It Out. And I will say this. I know that this is not where I got it from, but I know there's a U2 song called Acrobat.
And a book.
And
The Handmaid's Tale.
A Handmaid's Tale, which had that. Although my use of it predated both my reading of The Handmaid's Tale and my hearing of the song Acrobat by U2.
Those are both incorrect.
Well... Okay, well, listen, friend. What I'm telling you is...
I can tell you where if you'd like.
Let's not.
Well, now, I will start...
What happened?
And he's gone. All right. What I was going to say, though, is a lot of people have asked me if I got the Don't Let the Bastards Grind It Out from the U2 song. And the answer is no, because I used it before that, and I used it before I read The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, which is something my then-girlfriend, now wife, had me read. I don't know where I got that phrase from, actually.
We never will.
No, it really is one of those things that people have asked me, and it's just lost to the... It's one of those things that is just lost to the sands of time. I have no idea. I think it is something that I actually said on my very first day on the air, and I just don't know where it came from. So, anyway. All right. 503-733-2970. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the top five. We'll have a little... Really feel better. Fantastic.
And Scotty's even dancing.
Who doesn't love ABBA? We'll come back. We'll do news that hurts later on. A whole list of people whose lives are worse than yours and mine today. You say that. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there.